Because of illness, S.N. Haskell, president of the New England Conference and a member of the Battle Creek College Board, did not arrive in Battle Creek until just before Professor Bell's resignation from the college. Within a day or so, Haskell called on Bell.
Brother Bell, the New England Conference has recently voted to take immediate steps in organizing a school. Elder Doris Robinson, Brother F.W. Mace have been named to join the conference committee in comprising a school board. It's really going to happen at last.
Ah, yes. Brother Willie White said you wanted me to find a woman to head the school.
Yes.
Your requirements were quite stringent. A good teacher with good moral stamina, I was told, able to keep her own counsels and manage a good-sized school, as well as being a good Bible student. I'm afraid I haven't been able to locate such a person.
Yes, well, Mrs. Haskell won't be surprised. She suggested that to find such a paragon, I had better go over on the other shore.
Have you then lowered your sights to those who are available on this earth?
That's why I'm here. Brother Bell, will you head the school?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of the depth of feeling against me?
We need you, Brother Bell. This is going to be the kind of school Sister White has recommended, the kind of school you believe in, combining spiritual, physical, and mental development. Bible instruction will be an important part of the program.
I'm glad to hear that. Sister White has urged that a program of Bible study be required for all students. The Bible deserves more than an hour's study in a week.
I knew you'd agree. We'll also emphasize physiology and hygiene, and training in the agricultural, domestic, and mechanic arts.
Brother Haskell, you paint a tempting picture, but the trouble I've been through has been grievous for me and my family. My daughter Eva has been extremely ill for weeks as a result of the strain we've been under. She is just now able to sit up.
I sympathize, Brother Bell, but I can't impress upon you strongly enough how much we need your help. This school must be established.
Well, I'll stay for 1 year to see it well organized and established.
Edith Sprague, a supporter of Bell who resigned from the Battle Creek faculty when he did, agreed to teach with him. Determined to learn from his mistakes, Bell set off for South Lancaster early in April, accompanied by his 11-year-old son, Omar. Church members worked to prepare the schoolhouse, an old 18-by-24-foot carriage shop.
Brother Bell, I have news. Miss Maria Huntley, secretary of the Tract and Missionary Society, has agreed to teach a class in missionary methods.
Good, Brother Haskell. Then, with Miss Sprague teaching the primary grades and myself instructing the advanced classes, we should be able to provide good, practical education that will give the students actual skill in doing things rather than merely telling them how to do them.
I appreciate your dedication to training children to become Christian workers.
I firmly believe that the program we have planned will perfect the noblest specimens of manhood and womanhood that can be produced in the tainted atmosphere of these degenerate times.
Have you settled on an opening day?
I think April 19th, the anniversary of the Battle of Lexington.
Ah.
My great-grandfather fought in that battle of the Revolutionary War, and now we're beginning a revolutionary enterprise with this school that will train students to think instead of simply to memorize.
Fine. And what sort of manual labor program have you planned?
I think I'll be revolutionary in that respect, too. I'll let the students make suggestions.
Okay, Farnsworth. You said you wanted the students to meet right after school. We're all here.
Thank you, Tucker. I think we all realize that great effort and sacrifice have gone into founding this school. For myself, I want to see it start right and meet with the approval of God, and I think we all want that.
Yes.
Good. Now, the men students have met during the day and discussed Professor Bell's remarks about manual labor. We've drawn up some resolutions that we think will help. In brief, we're asking that the school committee provide us with 1 acre of land. We will cultivate it and donate the proceeds to the school.
What a wonderful idea! The women can help by doing the laundry and repairing the clothing for the young men who donate their time to cultivating the land for the school.
And we'll be glad to help in any other way whenever opportunities present themselves.
Let's put it to a vote. All in favor?
Aye!
Very well. We shall present resolutions to the officials of the school. In the meantime, let's do our best in our classes.
Mr. Tucker.
Yes, sir.
Please analyze this sentence for us. The old man lost his book in the fire.
Man is the subject. Lost is the predicate. Book tells what he lost. His tells whose book. In the fire tells where.
For the next school year, the board voted to require 3 hours of work a day with pay. 2 houses were rented for dormitories, and the old carriage shop was moved between them to serve as a dining room. Bell was unsure about remaining at South Lancaster. He was suffering from eye trouble, and besides, in May, the Battle Creek College Board had voted to invite him to return there. Ellen White, however, advised the board not to bring Bell back to Battle Creek because the condition of the church there would hinder his work. So when school began on August 30th, 1882, with 48 students in the basement of the South Lancaster Church, Bell was present. Edith Sprague noted that he was very kind to the students and that they thought much of him. He organized a Christmas sleighing party, and in the spring, on the school's anniversary, he took the students boating on the Nashua River. On December 12, 1883, the school finally received a name, South Lancaster Academy. But as the school grew, the pressures on Bell increased, as did his differences with Haskell.
What is it, Stephen? You look discouraged. I take it the board meeting did not go well.
Not well at all, Mary.
Did they change their minds about teaching trades?
Oh, no. We'll have tent making, harness making, broom making, cobbling, carpentry, dressmaking, and the household arts. That decision stands.
But
I think we should get a woman who has no other duties in the school to take charge of the dormitories. But Professor Bell doesn't want to give up an iota of control. He thinks the students and teachers should have the full management.
They seem to have done well so far without formal rules.
But the teachers are working 16 hours a day. Tempers are beginning to fray. There have been unpleasant exchanges at the board meetings. Miss Sprague's health has failed and Professor Bell's isn't good. I wish I didn't have to go to California right now.
Well, the term will soon be over. Next year, perhaps you can make other arrangements.
We've invited him back for next year.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
In spite of your doubts?
I don't doubt his teaching ability. I just wish I could be as certain about his ability to administer the school.
Bell kept in touch with his former pupil, Elder Willie White. In July 1882, he wrote to Willie that he had been hermitizing by the banks of a pond. He felt ill-used and said he suffered from congestion of the brain. Admitting that he did not always see things as they really were, he declared he dare not make any plans in his present condition. Finally, he returned to Battle Creek for treatment at the sanitarium, operated by another former student, Dr. Kellogg. Ellen White returned from California, and the two had a long talk in late August.
Sister White, I cannot thank you enough for the counsel you gave me in your letter earlier this summer. As I wrote to you afterward, I never experienced a greater change of thought and feeling than I did after I received that letter. I greatly appreciate both your honesty and your kindness.
Brother Bell, once more, you are bearing so many responsibilities that you can do justice to none. You are making the mistake of educating people to depend upon you instead of upon God.
You said something of the sort in your letter, and here in this letter I've prepared for you, I say, I will try to regard others as not only better but wiser than myself. I hope I may be able to act more like a gentleman and a Christian.
To accomplish that, you must not stand to pick up every little flaw and mark every misdemeanor. You can do much by talking kindly to the school. Always maintain your position as a dignified teacher.
Isn't that what I've been doing?
I'm not speaking of that dignity that will not heed the counsels of others, but that kindness, that courtesy, that will win your way into the hearts of your students.
Bell returned to South Lancaster for the 1883-84 school year, but his differences with Haskell increased. Haskell considered the training of workers to be the primary object of Seventh-day Adventist education, while Bell concentrated on the development of character. At the end of the spring term, Bell returned to Battle Creek. For the next 15 years, he taught by correspondence and by private instruction in his home, wrote several textbooks, and published a monthly educational journal. The end came on January 16, 1899, as he drove into town to work with some private pupils.
Get up, Beauty. Soon as we arrive, you can go into a nice, warm stable. Oh, no, there go my papers. Oh, whoa, Beauty.
Somebody go stop that horse.
Take care of the driver first.
The carriage is smashed. The driver's caught in the wreckage.
Yes, Professor Bell. He's been kicked in the head.
We carry him to the sanitarium.
Half an hour after reaching the hospital, Bell died without regaining consciousness. His funeral, 3 days later, was attended by the largest congregation in Battle Creek since the funeral of James White, 8 years before. G.H. Bell left his mark on Seventh-day Adventist education. Bell Hall, home of the School of Education at Andrews University, bears his name. And that New England school, for which he labored so diligently, if imperfectly, thrived. And in 1922, it became Atlantic Union College.